Would you pray with me, please? Lord, for those who struggle to know your will, and for those we love who struggle, we ask you to speak to our hearts today. Amen. A man came into a large sum of money and decided to give his mama the best birthday present ever, a present that would make up for all those years that her gift was kind of an afterthought. So the son read about this talking bird. The bird had a vocabulary of over 4,000 words. Some kindergartners starting school don't know that many words. And some of those words the bird knew were in a different language. It knew a couple languages. The bird even sang three complete operatic arias. Truly amazing. So the man decided that this would be the perfect gift to make up for his mama all the lousy things he had done all through his life. The man buys the bird for $50,000. He has it delivered, and he calls his mama the next day. He's all proud, and he says, "What'd you think of that bird?" And his mama said, "It was delicious." Before you know what to do with something, it helps to know what it was made for. I think that's true with our lives, too. Before we can ever figure out what God wants us to do, we have to know what we were made for what we were created. The Bible gives us that information. When we want to know who we are and what we're living for, Ephesians tells us this. It's in Christ we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. When we want to know what our purpose is, what God's plan for us is, Colossians says, we look at Jesus and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. Who we are and why we're here and what God intends for our lives are all revealed in Jesus Christ. That tells me that God may not be quite as concerned about who we marry or what job we take, or where we will live as we are. I don't think I can throw a wrench in God's plans by moving to another town or taking a job somewhere else. I think that what God cares about is that we love God and serve God wherever we are. Barbara Brown Taylor experienced this truth in this way. She was a seminary student who really didn't want to be a pastor. She was just curious about God, and her studies led her to seminary. One night, as graduation was fast approaching, Barbara was feeling the pressure of her future and her decision to attend seminary. What do you do with a seminary degree if you're not going to be a pastor? What was she supposed to do with her life now that she was graduating? She finally asked God. She said, "God, please tell me as plainly as possible exactly what I am supposed to do with my life." And in her prayers that midnight, this is what she heard. "Do anything that pleases you." Well, that's not a God-like answer, is it? Do what pleases you? And she prayed again, "God, I need you to be really clear and really simple and really direct. What is it I'm supposed to do with my life?" And she felt that God said, "Do anything that pleases you and belong to me." When I was answering my own call to this ministry, trying to figure out what I should do when and where I should do it, I finally came to a similar conclusion. I don't think God calls us so much to preach or teach or serve in the military or be a nurse or a mechanic as God calls us to Himself. Calls us to be His own. Do what pleases you and belong to God. Whatever you do for a living, wherever you live, what's important is how you live and for whom you live. What we choose to do with our lives, where we choose to live, who we choose to marry, I don't think any of that is nearly as important as belonging to God, as loving and serving God wherever we are. It's not what you do, but how you do it and for whom you do it. Do what pleases you and belong completely to God. For me, that settles all of those questions about who I should marry and where I should live and even what I should do for a living. I do feel a very deep sense of calling to this ministry. But God made it clear to me years ago that He is much more interested in my belonging to Him than in anything I do. I know a man who doesn't ask people what they do for a living. He asks them, "What have you done that you believe in and are proud of?" Sometimes people aren't quite sure how to answer that, but just as often, someone will say, "I am working hard to do a really good job of raising my 3 kids. Or they'll say, "I believe in doing a good job, doing it right, and that's what I do in my business." I heard a lady one time say, "I opened a coffee shop, and it is the best coffee shop in miles." You see, they all did what pleased them, and they each belong to God. That is your calling, and that is your mission. But this life isn't only just about you and me and what we want. And there's a part of this life that we will miss out on if we only focus on ourselves. And that part is worship. We have sung about it all morning. We were created to love and worship God forever. This life here is not all there is. Ecclesiastes says we were made for eternity. And Romans 11:36 says that everything comes from God and exists by God's power and is intended for God's glory. Everything and everyone is intended for God's glory. Even you. Even me. Whether we're plumbers or painters or preachers or soldiers, everyone and everything, whatever we choose to do, is intended for God's glory. Where do you see God's glory? We see it everywhere. From the smallest microscopic form of life to those Hubble pictures of the vast universe. From sunsets and stars to storms and seasons, creation reveals God's glory. From nature, we learn about God. We learn that God is powerful, that God enjoys variety, loves beauty, is organized and wise and creative. The psalm says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And Isaiah 43:7 says, "We were created for God's glory." That's why we were made. So how do we bring glory to God? Jesus says, "I brought glory to you here on earth, Father, by doing everything you told me to do." We honor God the same way. When anything in creation creates its fulfilled purpose, it brings glory to God. Birds bring glory to God when they fly and chirp and do bird things. Saint Irenaeus says, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." We bring glory to God by worshiping God. But worshiping God is more than singing and praising and praying to God. It's more than just something that we do for an hour on Sundays. Worship is a lifestyle of enjoying God. It's what we do with our lives while we're working, as engineers or lab techs or dental hygienists or lawyers. We are told to worship God continually and to praise God from sunrise to sunset. In the Bible, I did some looking this week. People praised God at work in the Bible, at home, in battle, in jail, even in bed. Praise can be our first activity when we open our eyes in the morning and the last thing we do when we close them at night. David said, "I will praise the Lord at all times, for He is good. My mouth will praise Him always." Everything we do can be an act of worship if we do it for the praise and glory of God. The Bible says, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Martin Luther was a 16th century reformer. He said, a dairymaid was to the glory of God. Brother Lawrence washed dishes for the glory of God. And we can too. We can do everything for the glory of God by doing everything as if we were doing it for Jesus. When I am picking up all the junk lying around my house, my attitude about that work and the job that I do of it is different when I imagine that I'm doing it for Jesus instead of the slobs that I live with. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, says Paul. Your boss is not your boss, not your only one, at least. God is your boss, too. Everything we do, we can do for God. This is the secret to this lifestyle of worship, doing everything as if we're doing it for Jesus. That's what Romans 12:1 means when it says, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Do what pleases you and belong to God. Work, any work, becomes worship when we dedicate it to God and perform it with an awareness of God's presence. When we live like that, we are fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. The line between sacred and secular disappears. It's all God. It's all God's, and it's all for God. We were designed for God's glory to worship God. And if we fail to do that, we will create other things to worship, other things to give our lives to. We call those things idols. We're free to choose, but we will never be fully happy apart from our designed purpose. If God is going to do God's deepest work in us, it will begin right here by living our whole lives, every part of them, in worship and praise of God. So give all of your life to God, not just your Sunday morning hours and your pious thoughts. Give God your past regrets and your present problems and your future ambitions, your fears, your dreams, your weaknesses, your habits, your hurts, your hang-ups. Real worship, lifestyle worship, that for which we were created, is usually joyful. It usually brings a sense of peace and contentment to our work. Sometimes not. Sometimes it's harder. Jesus knew that when he said, love God with all your strength. Sometimes we have to work at it a little bit. It doesn't always happen just by accident. When you praise God when you don't feel like it, when you get out of bed and come here even though it's cold and you have to scrape your car, when you're patient with others even when you're running behind schedule, when you help someone even though you're dead tired, that's worship that took work. And even then, you are fulfilling God's purpose in your life. You are offering a sacrifice of worship. And that pleases God. We were made for a purpose. We were made for God's glory. We were made for worship. We were made to live a life that brings glory to God. Matt Redman is a worship leader in England, and he tells about how his church was struggling to find meaning in their morning worship services. This was a church that had one of the most polished performance bands anywhere, led by one of the most prominent worship leaders today. And yet, their morning worship times were flat. They were about performance of the band. And that's not what worship is. So their pastor decided to do this really strange thing, and they banned all the instruments for a season. They worshiped, they prayed, they sang, just their voices. And they focused their lives on getting back to the heart of worship. For them, when that musical element was stripped away, the church slowly began to serve God with their whole lives. Not just on Sunday mornings, but Monday through Saturday as well. Worship is more than what happens here on Sunday morning. And Matt Redman's church learned that. As they were coming to the end of that time in their church, he wrote this song that we sing here often. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the things they appear. You're looking into my heart. We were created to worship. But worship is more than what we do here, now. Worship is what we do every minute of our lives. Beginning today, I pray that each of us come back to this heart of true worship. I pray that we come back to a life lived entirely before God. That is God's purpose and plan for our lives. I pray you will join the band as they sing this. Join as a prayer of commitment. Would you all please stand? I see so many of you in your everyday lives worshiping God, sharing God's love and joy, and working at your job with a commitment. I pray that this week, when you're bored at work, when you're frustrated at work, that you change your focus and think about working for God with all that you have and all that you are. Serve Him. That is your purpose. Next week, in here, we're going to talk about the questions. There were hundreds, there were dozens of them about evil. Why do bad things happen to good people? That's going to be our theme next week. Go this week and live in God's love. Live fully for God, live in the way you were created to live. Amen.